Thank you very much for coming. Today's daf is daf Pei Daled. It deals with very interesting discussions about. We continue with the discussion of whether, when a woman says all people are prohibited to me, does that include her husband? And the Gemara also gets into the discussion of Maaser Ani. The gifts given to the poor, as we know that when a farmer or anyone in the land of Israel has things grow, so the grain that grows, a small amount has to be given to the Kohen. Midoraisa, it could be even one grain. Midrabbanan, they said it should be at least, for normal people, they said it should be 2%, 1/50. Then after that, 1/50 is given to the Kohen as truma. 10% is separated and given over to the Levi as Maaser Rishon. And then another 10% is separated and brought to Yerushalayim and eaten in the Beis HaMikdash. Not in the Beis HaMikdash, eaten in Yerushalayim. That's Maaser Sheni. That's true in years 1 and 2 of the Shemitah cycle. But in year 3, that second 10% is not Maaser Sheni, it's Maaser Ani. It's separated and given to the poor. Year 4 and 5, again, we have Maaser Sheni. And in year 6, again, Maaser Ani. So the Gemara is going to discuss the nature of Maaser Ani. Okay, let's go back. Pei Gimel Amud Beis. Let's refresh our memories by looking at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Konam She'ani Nehenes Lebrios. A woman says, whatever I might benefit from people is a konam. I'm not getting anything from anybody. So then, inu yachal ha'hafer. The husband cannot reject the neder. So why? We're following the view of Rabbi Yossi throughout the perek. Rabbi Yossi held that there is a strict definition of what is inu nefesh, what is affliction. For example, Rabbi Yossi said a woman who said that she wouldn't bathe, it's still not yet inu nefesh. So he also feels that if she says, I can't get benefit from people, it's not yet inui nefesh. How could that not be inui nefesh? So it must be because husband is not included. When she says, I can't get benefit from people, it's people she can't get benefit from. From husband, she can still get benefit. So she's not in a state of inui nefesh. That's the first line of the Mishnah. And the second line of the Mishnah is, v'yecholi lehanas b'leket shikcho peya. And she's allowed to take leket shikcho peya. She's allowed to take the food that is left in the fields for the poor. So ask the Gemara to understand. If you tell me it's not inu nefesh because her husband can still provide for her, so why can she go take like a chikren peah? She's not a poor person. Her husband is providing for her. So let's pick up at that point. The Gemara had asked this contradiction, seemingly, between the two lines of the Mishnah. So three lines from the very bottom, we have answer number 3. Rav Nachman Amar, la'olam ba, lav b'chlal b'yosu. The way to read the first line of the Mishnah is that when a woman says, I'm not going to get benefit from any people, whatever any person would do for me is prohibited, that doesn't include her husband. Her husband is not a person. Her husband can still give her benefit. And therefore, the husband doesn't have a right to reject this neder, because it's not a neder that causes her physical pain, because he's still there to provide for her. So then what's the added line? If he's providing for her and he's providing for her so much, she's not in physical pain. What's the next line that she can go take? Leket shikcha and peya. She's not a poor person. Answer the Gemara. V'achi katani. The next line is to tell us the following. Nisgarsha. If she gets divorced. So once she gets divorced, at this point the husband can't give her anything. Now he's not giving her anything. So we're saying when she gets divorced, then yechol lohanos mileket shikcha peya. Then she can take leket shikcha and peya. She can take leket shikcha and peya. Because once she gets divorced, now the husband is considered one of the brios. She said, I'm not going to get benefit from the brios. I'm not going to get benefit from people. Husband is not part of that general people, because husband is husband. So as long as she's married, he's husband. But once she gets divorced, then husband becomes one of the people. And now she can't get from husband anymore, Okay, so now she's nebuch stuck. She can't get from husband. She can't get from other people because she has a neder on them. But she's okay because she can go take. She's not that she's okay, but now she can go take from the poor. She's a poor lady, really poor. She can't get from anybody. But she can get like a chikhan peah, because like a chikhan peah is not getting from anyone. That is hefker. That is ownerless. It's stuff that's left there. And she just takes it for herself. So the chiddush here is that she could get from her husband when she's married to her husband. And once she gets divorced, then the husband is no longer called husband. Now he's called brios. And now she can't get from him. But she can get like a chikhan peah. Because now she's poor. She doesn't have anyone providing for her. So now she can get like a chikhan peah. That's the view of Ravi Nachman. Yeah, question?
No, I'm just saying, maybe we do better. If she got divorced, it's okay, we accept the case. Is the new husband, the Yom Shoah, can be my family?
No.
That's a different, no, no. Finish? If we're talking all on the first husband?
Yeah.
I don't remember any.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't reject it.
Rabbi, if something's ownerless, can't anybody benefit from it?
Correct. So correct.
You don't have to be poor.
No, because this is ownerless for the poor. Right? This is the Hashem said to leave the gleanings and the forgotten piles and the corner of the field for the poor to take. Thank you. So this is the view of Rabbi Nachman. Now starting today's daf. Eisvei Rava, Rav Nachman. Rava challenged Rav Nachman. Is that so? V'ba'alav b'chlal briosu. If a woman makes an eder saying she's not going to get benefit from people, are you saying, well, husband's not people. Husband's husband. She can still get benefit from husband. Is that so? Is that the way to read the first line of the Mishnah? V'hatnan. But then we learn in the Mishnah later, which we've already seen quoted. If a woman makes a neder and says, Netula anim in hayehudim, I can't get any physical benefit of marital relations from any Jews. So then we said, she's married already. So yen yafer chelko, the husband should reject his part of that neder, or he should suspend, more accurately, his part of that nether, because that's going to impact him. And she can have marital relations with him. But even though he suspended his part of the nether, from other Jews, this nether does stand. So if she gets divorced, she can't have marital relations with anyone because she made this nether that marital relations are prohibited upon her. And if you're going to tell me, if a woman says, I'm not getting benefit from people, husband is different. Husband's not included. She can get benefit from husband. So then here as well, when she said, I'm not getting physical benefit from Jews to have marital relations, the husband wasn't prohibited. So then, what's going on here when she says, Netula ani mina Yehudim, I am separate from the Jews? It must be that it is Nidri inu nefeshein, that she's not prohibiting herself to have marital relations with the Jews. She's prohibiting herself to have fruits from all the Jews. So if so, it is Nidri inu nefesh. Yafer la liolam. So then his rejection should be a rejection forever, for all. And since we didn't say that, we said his rejection was only for him, it's because it's a matter between him and her. So it must be that she's only prohibiting on herself marital relations, and she's also prohibiting her husband. So it must be that from that Mishnah you see that when she prohibits the creatures, it's husband too. So it's against Rav Nachman, who says husband is not included in creatures. Via Mart, if you're going to tell me Baalav Bechlal Briosu, if you're going to tell me husband's not included in creatures, so then she never did anything about him. Then what are you going to have to tell me? It was a Nidri Inu Nefesh. It wasn't about Tashmish. It was about not eating at all. Then Via for the Olam, let him reject it forever. But since it's not that, we do see that it's about Tashmish. Obviously, it included him. He's part of the creatures. So the Gemara answers, Emelecha, I'll tell you, husband is not included in creatures. But when she made a neder not to have marital relations from people, and she's married, she obviously must be referring to husband. Because anyway, she couldn't have marital relations from other people. Shani Hacha, this neder, brios, in regards to marital relations is different than brios in regards to food. Here it's different. The Mukha Milsa, it's the matter is proven to us that she obviously is including husband here. Daletera Kasra Nafsha. Because when she's going to prohibit marital relations, she's not going to prohibit marital relations that are already prohibited. She's only going to be prohibiting marital relations that are permitted. So what's the marital relations that are permitted to a married woman? Her husband. So here where she says, I'm not going to have the benefit from people of marital relations, it means husband too. Because it can't mean people not husband. Because them, she's not thinking about them primarily, she's already prohibited to them. So here it means husband. But when she says, I'm not going to have the benefit of fruits from people, then she meant other people, because she could have had from those other people, and she doesn't mean husband.
That's only if we assume that people didn't commit adultery.
But even, apparently, even if...
No, because if she didn't commit adultery, now she says, okay, from now on, I'm not going to do it, I'm making a neder, right. I'm not going to go out.
So, yeah. So must be they assumed, right, that people would not.
So then, in that case, it takes the creature out of only being the husband. It means now he's making it specifically for the husband, so the husband was not included, and that's why we learned that sentence about the non-Jew maybe in here.
Right.
Before we learned.
Right.
Because it would be that they'd be committing the adultery with non-Jews, because they didn't want it to get around that they do.
But she never mentioned non-Jews. She said, I'm not going to get marital relations benefits from Jews. The Tulanim and Ayudin. She said from the Jews.
So what was it that was about the non-Jews?
She didn't mention the non-Jews.
What's non-Jews?
She didn't mention non-Jews. She said from Jews she's not going to have it. Okay, let's return to the Mishnah. Actually, I see here an interesting point that the Ran has a little bit of a different text to the Gemara that actually flows much much simpler, where the Gemara says, how could you say that a wife is not included in, I'm sorry, that husband is not included in the creatures? But here we have this halacha that if a woman says, I'm not going to have, you know, marital relations from all Jews is prohibited on me, the husband should suspend it, the Mishnah said. But if husband's not included in creatures, what does he have to do anything for? He wasn't included. So the Gemara then just goes right to the answer. And the Gemara says, the answer is, generally when creatures are mentioned, husband is not included. But here, because it's about marital relations, and she's already married, so marital relations, and she's making a nether about marital relations, she meant to other people, she's already prohibited to other people. So here, she meant husband. Here, husband's included in creatures, and that's why here, he needs to suspend it. It's a clearer reading.
Why
did she say Jews? Because that's what she said.
No, so why bring it in at all?
Maybe because...
No,
maybe the opposite of what you were saying. That the guy is so revolting to a normal Jewish woman, she wouldn't even make a neder about it. It's like, what, I'm not going to be with a dog. She has no interest at all. No interest at all. It's not even in her thoughts. But a Jew, she says. A Jew, she had to make a neder about. But a guy that was like, it's like with another creature, it wouldn't be imaginable.
The Gemara says we don't come.
That's what it says.
The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, zir masusim, zir masam. Yeah. That their seed is like the seed of horses. The Jews viewed it as completely out of the picture.
It's better to commit adultery with a non-Jew than a Jew.
From the perspective of prohibition, but Rabbi Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva that it's a chil Hashem to have adultery with a non-Jew. And chil Hashem, as we learned in the Maseches Yuma, is the worst of sins. That's the sin that you can't get kapara for. So true in terms of, you know, sometimes there's certain prohibitions, they're so big, they're outside of the law books. It's like Judge Mukasey's article about Hillary Clinton, that besides the four different felonies that she violated, she violated common sense. That's the biggest felony. Common sense that you don't keep, you know top secret information on a private server. Okay, so going back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says that if a woman says, Konim, it's a neder, and I'm not going to benefit from people, so then she can go take Leket Shikcha and Peah, because Leket Shikcha and Peah is not getting from people. The way Leket Shikcha and Peah apparently work is that the stalks that fall, or the piles that are forgotten, or the corner of the field, are just left there. People aren't giving it to the poor. It's just left there, and the poor then take it. So she's not getting from people. It's not as if they're giving to her. So then we ask, well, what does she need to take Leket Shikcha and Peah for? She's not poor. She has her husband. So we give different answers, right? It could be she's divorced. It could be the husband became poor. Maybe the husband can't give to her. That's why she can take Leket Shikcha and Peah. It's the explanation of the beginning of the Mishnah. Okay, that was till this point. So Yechol Lahana, she's allowed to take the Leket Shikcha and Peah. Now the Torah says about Leket Shikcha and Peah, Le'ani v'lager ta'azovosam. To the poor, to the stranger, you should leave it there. So that means that you're not giving it to the poor and the stranger. It doesn't say titnu lahem. It says, leave it there. So that's why someone who can't get anah from you can still get the Leket Shikcha and Peah from your field. It's not getting anah from you. You're not giving it to them. It was just left there for them. Yeah. Yes, very much so. Yes. Says the Gemara, v'lo katani v'maiser ani. But the Mishnah didn't give the option that she can get in year 3 and year 6 of the Shemitah cycle the Maiser Ani. So apparently this Mishnah holds that Maiser Ani works differently. Maiser Ani is not that the man who has the field and he separates the 10%, he's leaving the 10% for the poor. Rather, he separates 10% and then he has the ability to choose which poor person's going to get it, and he gifts to the poor. So now to gift to her, she can't get benefit from anybody. So you can't be going around gifting things to her. Okay, that's the view of our Mishnah. But we have a Braisa that seems to be against that. V'atanya b'braisa. But in a Braisa we learned the same way a woman who unfortunately can't get benefit from people can take Leket Shikcha and Peah uva Maaser Ani, and she can get the Maaser Ani, the 10% that's given to the poor. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef answered, Lo Kasha. It's not a problem. Mishnah and Braisa are not a contradiction. It's two different Tanayim. Ha Rabbi Eliezer, Vaha Rabbanan. One is the view of Rabbi Eliezer. One is the view of the Rabbanan. Where did Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan argue? In the following case, the case of Demai. Demai, as we've learned before, is from the word Demai. This, what is it? Demai is the produce of Ame Haaretz, of Amaratzim, and really most Amaratzim, even though they're not knowledgeable, and they're not careful about law, most of them do give away what they're supposed to give away. But there is a Miotanikar, very noticeable minority that doesn't give away what they're supposed to give away. And therefore, Chazal said you have to treat the produce that you get from any Am Haaretz, and maybe it came from that Miyud Hanikar, and maybe Trumos and Maisos were not given. And therefore, you have to redo it. You have to again give Trumos and Maisos, Misafik. This is called Demai. So we have a Mishnah in Demai in the fourth chapter. Rebbe Lezer Omer. Rebbe Lezer says like this: Ein Adam Tzarech Likros Shem Al Maaser Ani Shel Demai. That if it's year 3 or year 6 of the Shemitah cycle, and you buy fruit or grain from an Am Haaretz, so you have to suspect that the Am Haaretz had a hard time losing such a large portion of their wealth, he didn't give away the 22% that they're supposed to give away. So give away 2% as truma misafek to the Kohen. Give away 10% of what you bought misafek to the Levi as maaser rishon. But you don't have to separate the maaser ani. You don't have to separate the maaser ani. The Chacham disagree with Rabbi Elazar, and they say, no, korei shame. You have to declare that 10% of what you bought is maaser ani. And, you know, say, in the north, you know, in the northern part of the barrel, that 10% is maaser ani. So that's already separating it. That's already the maaser ani. And then, ve'ein tzarech lahafrish. You don't actually have to deliver the maaser ani to the poor people. Why? You don't have to give it to the poor because, again, it's demai, it's a suffix. Maybe the Amaretz did separate all the chumos and maasers. So we have a rule. If somebody wants money from me, he has to prove that he's entitled to it. So it's only a suffix. It's only maybe he's entitled to this money, maybe not. Therefore, he doesn't have a proof that he's entitled to the money. I don't actually have to deliver it to him. So my love, so what's the argument here, whether or not my serani has to be separated at all?
He can eat it.
He can eat it.
He's talking about the first Shemitah or
third year. Third year of the Shemitah cycle. So my love, presumably, Eman Amar Sveiko Tovel Kasavar Islay Tovasana. The Kiman de Islay Tovasana Lo Mahanya Ulamando Amar Eno Kore Shame Kasavar Sveiko Eno Tovel. And therefore, Shari Lei Lisanuye. So the Gemara suggests that the argument is like this. We have Rebbe Elazar saying that when somebody gets produce, that's a suffix. We don't know what was done with this produce. So Blazer says he has to separate Chuma. He has to separate Maaser Rishon. He doesn't have to separate Maaser Ani. Chachamim say he needs to separate the Maaser Ani, but he doesn't have to deliver the Maaser Ani. So what's the argument? We have a rule called Tevel. Tevel is produce that the Chumos and Maasros were not separated from it. Now there is a prohibition on eating tevel. If a person eats tevel, very good. He's chayav mita bidei shamayim. He gets killed by God. God will strike the person down. We're not allowed to eat tevel. So the argument here is about the question of whether maaser ani not being separated makes produce tevel. Chachamim hold, I'm sorry, Rebbe Elazar holds, that if you didn't separate Truma, if you didn't separate Maaser Rishon, if you didn't separate Maaser Sheni, then the produce is Tevel, and there is the Chiyuv Misa Bidei Shamayim. But if you didn't separate Maaser Ani, so you did the wrong thing, but it doesn't become Tevel. It's not Tevel. And therefore, in this case, where there is a suffix, maybe the Maaser Ani was separate. Maybe this is from the majority of the Amoratzim who do give their matanos. Maybe it wasn't separate. Maybe it's from the Miura Nikar, from the well-known minority that doesn't give it. So here you have a suffix. So it doesn't become Tevel. So therefore, it's not Tevel. So you don't need to go and do anything because it's not Tevel. Even if you would know for sure that you didn't separate Maaser Ani, the produce wouldn't be Tevel. So what's the issue here? Maybe there's an ani out there who needs it. Anyway, he can't prove that he deserves it. It's a suffix. So you don't have to do anything about the maaser ani. That's the view of Rebbe Elazar. And the Chachamim say, listen, if you have produce that you didn't separate maaser ani from it, that produce is tevel. So So here he got produce from an Am Haaretz. He doesn't know what happened. So maybe the Maser Ani wasn't separated. So he has to separate Maser Ani to make it non-teva. In terms of delivering the Maser Ani, he doesn't need to deliver the Maser Ani because the poor person can't prove that he's the one who's entitled to it. That's how the Gemara, I think, is explaining this argument. So now let's try to understand why we have such an argument. Why would we have an argument about whether or not Maser Ani creates a situation of teva? So the Gemara suggests the following. We know that if you separate Truma, in a certain way it's still yours. Even though it's Truma, it has to go to the Kohen, because you have the right to choose which Kohen gets it. That's called Tovas Hanah. You have that small benefit of being able to determine which Kohen gets it. Same with Maaser Rishon. You have the right to determine which Levi is going to get the Maaser Rishon. But what about Maaser Ani? When you separate Maaser Ani, can you determine which poor person gets it? Or do we say, no, once it's Maaser Ani, any poor person who wants to can grab it. And once they grab it, they're entitled to it. And it's sort of like Lekat Shikcha and Peya. So if you say that in Maaser Ani, you separate it, but then you have the choice who to give it to, so then it would be analogous to Truma, analogous to Maaser Rishon, and if you didn't separate it, it would make the pile Tevel. But if you say that Maaser Ani is very different than Truma and Maaser Rishon, that in Maaser Ani, you don't have the right to determine which poor person gets it. You just separate your 10%, and then the poor take for themselves. So it's not like Truma and Maaser Rishon. Therefore, Truma and Maaser Rishon, lack of doing them creates a status of Tevel. But in Maaser Ani, lack of doing it wouldn't create a status of Tevel. So just the Gemara, that's exactly the argument that's going on here. Rebbe Elazar said that you didn't have to do anything with the Dema, you don't have to call it Maaser Ani. It's because he holds that generally Maaser Ani doesn't create a status of Tevel, lack of separating Maaser Ani. Why would Maaser, since Maaser Ani doesn't create a status of Tevel, here there's a something about Maaser Ani, you don't have to do anything. And the Chachamim who hold that you have to call it Maaser Ani, that's because they hold that lack of doing Maaser Ani does create Tevel. Chachamim who hold that lack of Maaser Ani creates Tevel, it's because they agree, they equate Maaser Ani to Trumas Maaser and Maaser Rishon and Truma. That they say that the guy giving the Maaser Ani has still some ownership, a determination who to give to. He has the Tovas Hanah. Whereas Rebbe Elazar, who says that Maaser Ani is so different from Maaser Sheni and different from Maaser Rishon, different than Truma, he's the one who holds that there's no Tovas Hanah, there's no right to determine which poor person gets it. So once you have such an argument, now let's go back to our issue. A woman said she's not going to get any benefit from people. So our Mishnah says she won't get benefit from people. She can eat like a chikren peya. Sounding like she can't eat Maaser Ani though. The Braisa though said she could eat Maaser Ani. So we said it's a contradiction. But now we have the answer. The Braisa that says she can eat Maaser Ani, that's following the view of Rebbe Elazar, that Maaser Ani is different than Truma. It's different than Maaser Rishon. It's different than Maaser Sheni. It's different than Truma's Maaser. Because in all those other gifts, the Tovas Hanah still belongs to the one who's separating it. But in Maaser Ani, he doesn't have a Tovas Hanah. So since Maaser Ani is different, Maaser Ani doesn't create a status of Tevel. Lack of doing it doesn't create a status of Tevel. And since Maaser Ani, there's no Tovas Hanah, the woman can go get it because she's not getting from him. She's not getting a benefit from him. He makes it Maaser Ani, and then she takes from that which is Maaser Ani. But according to the Chachamim, that lack of separating Maaser Ani creates a status of Tevel. Why would it create a status of Tevel? Because Maaser Ani is like Truma. It's like Maaser Rishon. It's like Maaser Sheni. It's like Truma's Maaser. It's like any other gift where it's a gift and the owner is supposed to separate it and then gift it to somebody. So that's the view of our Mishnah, that Maaser Ani is the view of the Chachamim, that Maaser Ani is going to be a gift given to the poor. Since it's going to be a gift given to the poor, this woman has said she can't get gifts from anybody. So she can't get it. So that's the argument. The argument is about this question of Tovas Hanah. So that was what the suggestion was. Amar Le Abaye. So Abaye said to Rav Yosef, maybe not. Maybe the Kuli Alma, maybe everybody in terms of Rabbi Lezer and Chachamim believe Sveiko Tovel, that if you don't separate my Sirotni, your produce is Tevel. And therefore, when you buy produce from an Am Aretz, where you have a Safek, you have to do something about it because it's Tevel. You have to treat it as Tevel. But what's the argument? Rabbi Lezer, Rabban and Bakim, Iflagit, Rabbi Lezer and Rabban argue about the following. Rabbi Lezer, Savar, when you buy from an Am Aretz, then you don't have to worry about Maiser Ani. Lo nech shadu Am Aretz al Maiser Ani. We don't suspect that the produce that you get from an Am Aretz has a problem of Maiser Ani in it, that the Maiser Ani wasn't separated. Why? Because Maiser Ani, there's a way to get around it. It's the 10% to be given to the poor. Kevin de Ilu Mafkir Nechase, the Am Aretz, what can he do? He can do the following. He was told, you're supposed to give 10% of what you grew to the poor. That's a lot to lose. So he comes up with the following kunz. Mafkir Nechase, when he harvests all of his grain, he gets three people, as we've learned before, Hefker is supposed to be in front of three, and he says, whatever I own is Hefker. Whatever I own is ownerless. Mm-hmm. Now he's poor. Once he's poor, he can go take the money for the poor. Once he takes the money for the poor, he then takes all the other money back. And he has it. And now you buy from him. So you bought Hefker from him. So that's what happens. Lo nech shudu amei aretz al maaser ani. Because kiv and the ilumavkin uchasev avyani v'shakilehu. Since he could make all of his produce, all of his wealth ownerless. All whatever he has ownerless. And then he could become poor himself. Then he can take it. That's what he did. And therefore, lo, less like say that he has no loss. So he goes through this ritual and he ends up with no loss. And the Rabbanan disagree. Rabbanan savri nechase lo mafkir inish. Even a poor person is not, an Am Aretz poor person is not going to make all of his property ownerless. The merit is because to make something, you have to have people there. And he's worried. Maybe someone's going to take my stuff. So therefore, you have to suspect that they didn't separate Maaser Ani. And now that you bought it from them, it's Tevel. So you have to separate the Maaser Ani.
Not such an amara, it's the wrong term.
That's what the Shach tells us when it comes to saving money. Everybody's a big Talmud Chacham. Everybody knows everything. Rava gave a different answer to resolve the contradiction between our Mishnah and the Braisa. Kan b'maiser ani ha-mischalek b'soch habayis. One is talking about maiser ani being given out in the home. So when it's raining, so when you're giving the Maaser Ani in your home to the poor, then you have the right to choose which poor person to give it to. So then the wife, this woman who's prohibited from getting benefit from people, can't get it. The Chsev Bey, because the Maaser Ani that's given out in the house, the Torah used the term Nesina, as it says, v'nasato la-levi, give it to the levi, la-ger, la-yasom, v'la-almana. It says to give. Mishum hachi, that's why, asur leilis hanuye, a woman who's not allowed to get benefit from anyone can't get it. Khan, however, in the Braisa, which said that the woman who can't get benefit from people can get maaser ani, is b'maaser ani mischalik b'soch hagranos. It's the maaser ani that's being separated on the threshing floor, where there's a pile, and that pile is put aside for maaser ani. Kivan dechsiv bay, because the maaser ani in the threshing floor, it says, v'hinachta b'sha'arecha, and you are to leave it in your gate. You separate the pile, and you leave it in the gate for the poor to come and take. And therefore, since it's separated and left, you're not actually handing over. Shari Leile Sanuye. The wife is, this woman is allowed to come and to take because she's not being given from somebody, and therefore it's not basically a Nesina. It's not a gift.
But when he says, or when he becomes ownerless and he announces that he's ownerless, he sort of destroys his rights. He's not to the field anymore. He has no right to choose For right. Truma, he has no right yeah. to choose. For Ani, he has no. He loses all his rights. Am I right?
That's right. Yeah, but then he reclaims it. Now, remember, we've learned earlier that they were worried about these issues. And that's why Chazal were masaking that if Hefker, if the owner makes something Hefker, and then he reclaims it, so if he did that within 3 days, retroactively it annulled the Hefker. And it never made it Hefker. So it has to be a situation where this poor guy, or not this poor guy, this Amaretz, right, to go back to the case of the Amaretz, he'd have to have, you know, real loyalists that won't take his stuff.
He could collude.
He'd have to collude.
Several owners collude.
He'd have to collude where he would announce, I'm making it all Hefker. Nobody takes his stuff for 3 days. Right. And then after 3 days, it really was Hefker. He's poor. He takes the Meiser Ani first, and he takes everything else back.
That's right.
Rabbi Chanan ibn Akashi Omer, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Yisrael, Fichachir B'lem Torah, Mitzvah